This is Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ. Now here's your host, Mark Shuttleworth.
And joining us this morning for Rock Talk, we have Rebecca Alley on the phone. She's the Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer for Rochester Regional Health Ambulatory Services. Hello, Rebecca. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. We are grateful to have a few minutes of your time here to talk about all things COVID, specifically in the Rochester area in Monroe County. So where to begin? Let's talk masks. What is the current situation regarding masks?
Yeah, great question. So masks have definitely been an evolution across the pandemic for sure. Currently, with our newest variant, Omicron, we do have a little change in our recommendations. So we do encourage all folks to keep a face covering on at all times. Preferably, though, now with the presence of Omicron, we do encourage individuals to utilize a surgical mask or a KN95. The newest variant is a little bit more aerosolized, meaning it is it's smaller particles. So cloth masks are not always as effective as they were with some of the previous variants for this particular virus. A surgical mask or KN95 mask that's tightly fitting on the face is much more protective against Omicron.
Now, I know at one point, at least, those surgical and KN95 masks were difficult to come by. Is there more supply of them now? Do you know? Are there places you would recommend people pick those up if they were looking for them?
Great question. So KN95s are the new sort of hot item. So they are definitely more difficult to find currently. Surgical masks are pretty readily available at this point. They're easily purchased at drugstores, Amazon, you know, any of those grocery stores all carry surgical masks, and the supply is pretty solid for those. A little trickier if you're looking for a KN95.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So keep your eyes open if you're out looking for those KN95s. They're like gold. We're speaking with Rebecca Alley. She's the Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer for Rochester Regional Health Ambulatory Services. We're glad to have her here on Rock Talk this morning. Let's talk vaccines and boosters. So we've had two installments of the vaccine, first round of boosters already. Where do we stand as far as who's eligible for COVID vaccine? Let's start with that. Who's eligible for the vaccines, first of all?
Yeah, so so anyone over the age of 5 is eligible for an initial vaccine series. For kiddos under the age of 18, Pfizer is currently the manufacturer who is approved for that age group. All three vaccine types, Pfizer, Moderna, or J&J, are approved for 18 and over. But any person who desires vaccination, there's definitely ready access currently in the community, and would definitely encourage those individuals over the age of 5 to get vaccinated.
When we talk about infection of kids of ages 5 to 12 kind of thing, what are we seeing as far as symptoms go in severity right now with Omicron?
Yeah, great question. So Omicron has definitely presented as less severe than previous variants. The incubation period, meaning the time from when someone is exposed until the time when they first start to present symptoms, is shorter, averaging about 2 days. So a little faster onset. And the period where individuals are infectious or sick is also proving to be shorter with this particular variant as well. So those things are all good. However, there is still a subset of individuals who are more susceptible to severe illness with any virus, and COVID is no different. And so we do still see a much higher rate of ICU admissions for unvaccinated individuals and vaccinated individuals. And so definitely still encouraging folks to get vaccinated if you're not, and if you're due for your booster, to get your booster, because the severity of the illness will still be decreased in those individuals who are vaccinated, most likely. as well as the likelihood of, if you are someone who has some underlying health conditions, the likelihood of you needing ICU level support goes down substantially if you are vaccinated and boosted.
So let's go back to, so let's talk about the COVID vaccines again, because it's been so long since I got my vaccine, like in April, May, I think it was last year, and I've got a bad memory. So the time between the first COVID vaccine shot and the second one, is it 2 weeks?
It's 3 weeks, 3 weeks for Pfizer, 4 weeks for Moderna. So, right. And then J&J is just a one-time. It's just a one-time shot.
Okay. Is there any? Do we play favorites with which vaccine we like, which one we don't like? Is there anything? Any advice you can dispense or?
No. Okay. You know, all three have been shown to be helpful. There isn't necessarily any evidence differentiating the vaccines themselves. You know, I think the biggest difference is that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are mRNA vaccines and the J&J vaccine is not. So it's a more of a traditional vaccine. There are some people who feel strongly one way or the other about what they prefer. And so luckily all three options are available right now in the community and are readily accessible.
Gotcha. So it does give some options.
Yes, you do have options.
Okay. So let's talk about boosters now. So we went around, we got the first round of shots. Boosters came out and it seems originally they were holding, although it seems like it was a short period of time for 65 and older, I think it was. And then they became available. Are they available for everybody now, boosters?
They are available for everybody now, yes. And the recommendation is 5 months after your initial series.
Okay. What is the long game? So there were two shots, there was a booster, and then what do you see happening like in the next 8 months or so? Will it be another booster? Will it be the same booster? Or will it just become like a flu vaccine almost, where you just get the vaccine every year?
You know, I think it's too early to know yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too early to know that yet. So right now, obviously, we're encouraging everybody to get boosted. As we go through this first series and understand over this next 6 to 12 month period, sort of what sort of happens with the virus itself, as well as individuals who contract it, it'll give us a sense as to whether, you know, this booster is going to have, you know, effect for 6 months, 12 months, 3 years. You know, we won't really know until we get a little bit farther out.
Gotcha. Now we're speaking with Rebecca Alley. She's the vice president and chief nursing officer for Rochester Regional Health's Ambulatory Services. We're recommending you head to the Monroe County website if you live in Monroe County, the Monroe County website for more information. If you have any more questions that we're not covering this morning on the broadcast, you can go to monroecounty.gov. And of course, there's plenty of information on the county website about COVID, about vaccines, about booster shots and the like there. Let's talk about rapid tests, if we could, for a moment, Rebecca. So So tell us about testing then, just in general. Tell us the different kinds of tests and what you recommend as far as when to use a test.
Yeah, great question. So there's several different kinds of tests for COVID. The ones that are sort of more frequently used are what everyone is sort of familiar with, the PCR test, which is the most sensitive test. It's the one that you get administered by some location, either a doctor's office or a pharmacy or the county sites. It's a nasal collected test. It can either be the one that's really uncomfortable where they go higher, or the one that's not as uncomfortable where they stay a little lower. Either way is fine. But it is a nasal test, and then that goes to the lab, and the lab actually runs that test and produces that result. There's also rapid antigen and molecular testing. Those tests are lab or site performed, so those are the type of rapid tests that you can get at many of our pharmacies, in some of our doctor's offices. They take about 15 to 30 minutes to run. They're collected by the folks who are trained to collect them. And then that test is run right on site there. and you receive your results. And then the last form of testing is the over-the-counter home tests. Those are typically antigen tests, rapid antigen tests that are performed by yourself at home with instructions and are pretty convenient and have really sort of flooded the community a bit more recently with the supply.
Yeah, I had to administer my wife had administered most of the tests on the kids when they needed them, and I had to give one to my son. And the school had sent home these packs, and he had to go to the orthodontist. And so I had to do this test beforehand, and I had the test out. I unfolded the directions, which were just massive, like I was on a treasure hunt. And I was reading through those directions. I must have read through those directions 10 times because I was like, I can't screw this up. I've got to spin it the right number of times. I've got to tap the thing, but all in all, I got done. I thought, well, that's pretty simple to do. So these tests actually aren't as complicated as you might fear to have to administer on your own. When do you recommend somebody take a test? Because it seems like timing is important, you know?
It is. There's three different situations where people test. One is you're sick. You wake up in the morning, you're not feeling well. Second situation is you have an exposure. So somebody calls you and says, hey, you were at my house for the birthday party last weekend and Johnny came down with COVID. And then the third situation is we frequently have people testing for things that are not medically indicated. So you're going to a concert, a wedding, a show, and there's a requirement for testing. So those are really the three big buckets. And I think that we can sort of frame it in that light. So if you're sick, so home testing is a great first option for folks who are not feeling well. They are less sensitive than a PCR test, but they are relatively accurate for a positive result. They're very accurate for a positive result. So if you are sick and you take a home test and your result is positive, you can feel confident that you have COVID. So symptoms plus a positive home test, you can be rest assured that that is a reliable test for that and that you are positive for COVID. If in that instance, one of the things that we've seen a lot of is people don't know what to do. So now you're at home, you have a little bit of a sore throat, you have a positive COVID test. What do I do next? So we frequently have had people show up at our urgent care sites or our emergency rooms presenting and letting us know that they had a positive home test. So that is not necessary. So I just want to reiterate that if you have symptoms and you have a positive test at home, you can consider that a true positive. If your symptoms are mild, you don't need to do anything. You don't need to go anywhere or get a PCR test. You should report your test results to the county, and you can do that right on the county website. When you do that, they will send you your quarantine paperwork electronically with all of your dates and instructions on quarantining. And then you just monitor your symptoms like any other viral illness. If your symptoms are mild and you're tolerating them and managing them at home fine, then you just self-manage. If at any time you feel like you're struggling to manage your symptoms at home or you feel like you're getting sicker, then at that point you should call your doctor's office for guidance on what's the right next step for you. The second bucket is if you test at home and are negative and you're not feeling well. For those individuals, because the rapid home tests are not quite as sensitive as the PCR test, there is still a chance that you can have COVID. And so in that situation, if you're not feeling well and you tested home and it's negative, you should call your doctor's office for further instructions. Depending on your symptoms and your history, they may at that point want to send you for a PCR test, which is a little bit more sensitive. They may also want to do other testing. I mean, if, you know, maybe you have strep or the flu, right? And so very important, if you're not feeling well and your rapid home test is negative, do not assume you don't have COVID. Please stay home and call your doctor's office, and they will provide you the appropriate guidance on next steps for what to do.
Now, are we seeing with Omicron, from my experience, we've seen people run the gamut as far as symptoms go. Some, you know, somewhat severe, and some, I know a number of people who didn't know they had anything. They weren't presenting any symptoms. They had to get a test for something else, and lo and behold, they came back. They were positive. If that's the case, I mean, what's the step? What are they supposed to do at that point?
Yeah, so folks who have mild symptoms and are positive or no symptoms, and we'll talk about exposure in a minute, but if you have no symptoms and are positive, you still can trust that that is a true positive. So the prevalence of COVID right now in our community is so high, and the false positive rate of these tests is extraordinarily low, that the likelihood right now of you having a false positive on one of these tests is sort of equivalent to winning the lottery. So if you have a positive home test, whether you have symptoms or you don't have symptoms, you can consider that a true positive. If you're mildly ill or you don't have any symptoms at all, just stay home, report your result to the Department of Health on their website. They'll provide you your quarantine instructions, monitor your symptoms, and should you either develop symptoms or if your symptoms get worse, then contact your doctor's office, and they will likely want to evaluate you or provide you directions for next steps. Okay. Exposure is a little different. So if you are exposed to someone who a direct exposure to COVID, oftentimes we find people test too early. So if you're notified that yesterday you were exposed to someone with COVID, testing today is likely not going to help you. The virus hasn't had enough time to replicate enough to show up on a test. So the current recommendation, if you have a direct exposure, is to test on day 5. And so rapid home tests are often used for that. If you test positive on your rapid home test on day 5 and you have no symptoms, you do exactly what we just said. So you monitor for the development of symptoms, you stay home, you report your result to the DOH, they will provide you your paperwork, and you just sort of ride out your quarantine period. If you test on day 5 and you are negative, then you do not need to retest again, but you do need to continue to monitor for symptoms for the full 10 days. In terms of quarantining for individuals who are exposed, if you are vaccinated and boosted and have a direct exposure, you are not required at this time in Monroe County to quarantine, but you do need to mask with a well-fitting mask when in public. And again, recommended testing on day 5, monitor for symptoms for the full 10 days. If you are not vaccinated and you have a direct exposure, Monroe County does place you on quarantine for 5 days. We'll have you test on that day 5. And then if you are negative on day 5, you can leave quarantine but must maintain using a well-fitting mask and monitoring for symptoms until day 10.
Okay. Wow. There's a lot of different avenues to go down there, a lot of different columns that you might fit in. So we're recommending you head to the, if you need those repeated or you need to reference those, go to the county website, which, of course, will continually be updated with the latest information. And that is MonroeCounty.gov. That's MonroeCounty.gov. We're speaking with Rebecca Alley. She is the Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer for Rochester Regional Health's Ambulatory Services. What would you say are some of the most common questions or mistakes people make through this whole procedure?
I think testing too early. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of emotion around COVID, rightfully so, right? And so if you wake up, if you find out you're exposed and test, you know, like I said, too early, that result isn't, if it comes back negative, it can give a false sense of security. So that's one important note, is that, you know, every test has its limitations, and a test result is really just telling you whether you have enough virus at that moment to test positive on a test, right? So a positive test is definitely a positive test, but a negative test, you really have to take with a grain of salt based on your personal situation. So if you are ill with a negative test, Again, you would want to follow up with your doctor. If you're exposed and have a negative test, you still want to monitor for symptoms and make sure you're doing due diligence around masking and if you're supposed to be quarantining. So I think that's the biggest one is just understanding how to interpret those home test results and what to do.
Okay. We've been speaking with Rebecca Alley, Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer for Rochester Regional Health's Ambulatory Services. Rebecca, anything that we haven't talked about this morning that you think our audience should be aware of?
The only other thing I would say is, flu is real too. And so we have seen a decline in our flu numbers with this recent surge, and we believe that's related to people having a heightened awareness again around wearing masks with the indoor mask mandate now back in place and hand hygiene. And so flu vaccination is also readily available in the community and would definitely encourage folks to pursue flu vaccination as we do every year, as well as remembering that social distancing, masking, and hand hygiene, definitely avoiding large gatherings, are definitely things that are very relevant to Omicron as well. And so those haven't gone away, and we definitely depend on our community to work with us on those to really drive this surge back down.
All right. Check out the county website for more information on things COVID. That's MonroeCounty.gov. That's MonroeCounty.gov. Rebecca Alley, Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer for Rochester Regional Health Ambulatory Services. We appreciate your time with us this morning. Thank you for sharing your wealth of wisdom. I can't imagine it's easy staying on top of all of this this material, so we're grateful that you could share it with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ, a part of the DJRO Broadcasting Company.